If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
There's one mistake that you're probably making when you call in sick. I'm about to help you out with this, okay? So your boss will never question your illness again. So when you guys call in sick, first of all, do you call in sick? Because I think a lot of people do the text and email thing now.
No, I text. I never call in sick. No way.
Okay. Sam?
Yeah.
I don't think you even tell the boss, actually, when you're not coming.
I don't.
No,
he just don't show it.
He
if they ask, I'll tell
that's
him.
That's it. Okay.
Okay, so
the next day, hey, I was sick yesterday.
What would a typical text message say, Andy?
Hey, not feeling well. Don't think I'm going to make it in. I would say tomorrow, because we work so early, I would say.
Right.
I would give you a heads up the night before, but I'm going to be like, not feeling well, not going to make it in tomorrow. That's all.
Okay. That's
it. Yeah. I don't need to give too much information.
I feel like that's too generic, though. I feel like if you really are sick, because it doesn't happen very often, you need to give some details.
You need some details.
It, you know?
Yeah. You're both right, and you're both wrong also.
Okay.
The thing is, you need to share some, but not too much. Sorry, I'm not feeling well today. I need to stay home is, like, not good enough. That sounds like a little condescending, right? Like, you can't just say
that
not
be
feeling
a personal day.
Exactly. You have to give a little bit more than not feeling well, but you don't have to go into details about, like, I threw up 12 times last night. I can't get off the toilet.
What you ate, what's coming out.
What you ate, exactly, how you had to change your bed. I don't know. Change your bed sheets, whatever.
Be right back.
You don't need
to. Be sick again.
But you need to say, I have a stomach virus. I've been in bed. I'm not going
to
be
so
in
So you
tomorrow.
Need to say what the actual ailment is.
Yeah. They're going to think you're lying if you don't. If you say, hey, not feeling good, can't go. Like, to me, that sounds like you don't care at all. Don't feel good, can't come in.
I don't know. I feel like I call in sick so little that if I do the one time that I do, I should have earned that trust that people are like, oh, yeah, he's not feeling well. He's always here.
Oh, that's such bad karma for you to say.
I know.
He's calling in sick within
so
3 weeks.
I won't see you guys tomorrow. I'll be away.
I guarantee it. It's always how it works.
Yeah, you're right.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So what would happen if you were late for school? It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Good morning. If I was ever late for school, which was probably more than the average kid, I would just get that look from the teacher like I stole their money and then I'd get to sit down. No big deal. But I guess this winter in particular, kids who take public transit, the STM transit, they've been late more than often, right? To the point where the schools are fed up and they're not even allowing late students to attend class, which is what happened to Katrin Dinkle's son in NDG. He was late on Friday and denied entry to his class altogether. So schools are saying, too bad. Just leave earlier. If you missed your bus because it was full or just really late because of the weather, too bad. You're out of luck. So the question, I guess, is, are the kids to blame or should the schools, should they have a better understanding as to what's going on?
This is happening in a bunch of schools, actually. And they said, you know, parents are calling in. We're already getting texts from some of these parents at 92925. Parents are calling in to advise them that the student is going to be late and they're going to be there at a certain time. They still arrive 10 minutes late and they automatically get a slip to go to detention. And the parents are like, there's nothing we can do. What do you want us to do about this? They have to take the STM because a lot of the schools don't necessarily have school buses. Mm-hmm. That's how they have to get to school. And how do you want us to fix this, basically?
Yeah.
And I understand the frustration. That seems very, very frustrating. I can't imagine what the parents and also the students who are trying to do the right thing and get to school on time are dealing with. But is there not this like little part of you that says like, welcome to the real world kind of also? Like, that's what school is to prepare us for. And I just think if our excuse for our boss, if we were late all the time, was the STM keeps messing up, like we would have to figure it out. Maybe it's just like another way to prepare the students for life.
I mean, if some of these kids are like 13, 14 years old, I mean, I get it. You know, it's kind of preparing you for the real world. But in actual fact, these kids aren't going to be in the real world for another 10 years anyway. I think we can just slow down
they're
a little bit.
They're going to be in CJEP in a few years,
right? But that's still school. It's not a job, you know?
CJEP doesn't care if you're late. Like, CJEP would do the exact same thing once you get there. Like, it is, they mean business.
Yeah, well, if you don't show up in CJEP class, then it's your own
100%.
Fault. But at the end of the day, you can make up your own work. It's just, it's so tough to play a guessing game every morning. Like, is the bus going to come? Is it going to be full? I mean, kids shouldn't have to worry about this, you know? Mm-hmm. It legitimately is not their fault. And you can't expect them to wake up, 15, 20 minutes early just for the hope that they, you know, can catch a bus that, I mean, the whole thing's kind of ridiculous. The schools need to figure out a way, work with the STM, get more buses, do what you need to do. But at the end of the day, the kids shouldn't be penalized. I mean, this is an exceptional winter, and it's not like they're going out of their way to be late or they have, you know.
I'm sure that the schools would love to work with the STM if that were an option. I doubt the STM is like, hello, how can I make your life easier?
Yeah.
Which makes it really tough. I just think, you know, if I Google Maps something and I'm like, okay, it's going to take me 20 minutes to get to work, and then because of traffic, it takes me 45 minutes, that's not an excuse. excuse, right? Like, you have to leave earlier then.
I guess so.
But if you're late for work, it's not like you're denied entry into the office. Late for work.
At one point, you will be. Like, of course, you're going to be reprimanded eventually. Right, and that's what happened in this case as well. Eventually, they were like, okay, people are too late too often. You got to figure it out. And we want to know what you think. You can send us a text at 92925. Gail, what are your thoughts on this?
I think in a lot of cases for the children, it's up to the parents to get them there on time. It's not the child's fault. Then, you know, you do have the occasional one that is late for different reasons. But frequency, yes. But just like I said, once or twice, no.
I agree. I think it was after it became like sort of a consistent issue, which it has been for most of the winter because of all the snow that we've been receiving. And I was just thinking, too, it's hard to know at what point, if this is constantly an excuse, at what point do you know when kids are even lying or not, you know? I think back to when I was 13, like if I knew that I was going to get away with saying the STM was late, I would have used that every single day.
If you're the only one that's late in the class. Then maybe something's up.
There you go. So I think it's frequency. It's frequency.
Yeah. If they're doing it a long time, they need to be reprimanded.
Yes.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Gail. I hope you have a great day.
Oh, you too. Love you guys.
Thank you so much. And Pat, you feel very strongly about this. What do you think?
I'm sorry, but it's their responsibility to be on time. If it means getting up an extra 15 minutes, then you get up an extra 15 minutes. You're preparing them for the workforce, and my boss is not going to tolerate the fact that it snowed or the bus didn't come. You make sure you're on time.
Yeah, especially if it's a frequent issue, right? Like at one point, it's on you to find a solution if it's constantly happening.
100%. I find it ridiculous that anybody would think anything else.
What if they did get up 15 minutes early and the buses were still late? Because that could potentially be a thing.
It could, and then you get up 30 minutes early.
Come on, the pickup's already brutal enough.
But that's the thing, right, is you change the time that you were taking the bus. Unfortunately, I mean, it sucks, doesn't it? It sucks, but...
It does, but I mean, I go to work every day. I drive in from the West Island to Westmount, and I've never once been late. I make sure that if it's going to snow, I go early. You make your arrangements.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pat.
You're welcome. Have a good day, guys.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Tell me something good. So, Sam, you want to start and tell us something good?
Yes, this is a really cool story that that I was touched by over the weekend. There's a Special Olympian from Montreal's West Island who's headed to the Special Olympics World Games in Abu Dhabi later this month. But her road to get there was nothing short of remarkable and quite tumultuous. So Lisa McDermott has learning disabilities and compulsive behavior. And so for a while, she ate compulsively. Her weight shot up. One morning, she woke up, decided... something has to change. She dropped 100 pounds, but in the midst of this came some terrible news. She was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Oh, no. 4 months of chemo and 2 months of radiation later, she conquered her cancer. She's now completely cancer-free, fully focused on bowling, which is her sport, and now she's representing Canada at the Abu Dhabi 2019 Special Olympics World Summer Games later on this month.
Amazing.
Good for her.
What a fighter.
Well done. What
Congrats.
A fighter.
That's awesome. All right, this story had me in tears this weekend. I sent it to every friend, shared it on my Facebook, and I'll probably tear up talking about it. It's about an 11-year-old Montreal boy named Anderson, and he just lost his mom to cancer in November. And as she was struggling and dying, she promised that she would do everything she could to make Anderson's dream come true, his dream being a meeting with his idol, Carey Price from the Habs. So devastatingly, this 11-year-old boy lost his mother back in November and she passed away before she was able to make it happen. But it finally happened. See, I'm like tearing up thinking about this.
Get the tissues.
And the video has people all over the world in tears. It's been viewed millions of times. Anderson's aunt said that through some very kind and generous friends, they were able to arrange a visit to the Habs morning skate. And Carey came off the ice and gave Anderson two signed sticks, a hockey puck, a signed his jersey, and a mini stick as well. You kind of listen to a bit of the meeting here. He is in tears. Anderson is bawling. Oh. It's hard to hear, but this little boy, 11 years old, just met his idol. His mom just passed away in November, tears streaming down his cheeks. And it wasn't the meeting and it wasn't the sticks that really got people. It was the hug.
Yeah.
In the most raw and genuine moment I may have ever seen from an athlete, honestly, Carey Price grabbed this kid at, for a good 15 or 20 seconds, kept his arms around him. And I was just like, done. Mascara is over. It's all over. It's the most beautiful video.
It's a very, very proud moment for Montreal,
yes.
For Carey Price. And the video's up on our Facebook page if you haven't
seen it. I've never been more proud of Carey Price.
Well, I was going to use a story that Nikki chose, but instead, I'm going to tell you a tale of survival, heroism, bravery, and guts. Jeremy Taylor of Oregon has made a movie tale to tell. His car was stranded in the snow last week. He couldn't get out. He had nowhere to go. He tried hiking out. Snow was too deep. He was deep in the woods when the snow started to fall really hard. So he decided he was going to wait it out and sleep in his car. When he woke up, more snow, it had fallen. So luckily, Jeremy Taylor is a survivalist, and he was prepared. He and his dog, Allie, survived. That's the good news. On Taco Bell hot sauce packets
That's
for
impressive.
5 days.
That's impressive.
Until rescuers came to find him. Jeremy Taylor, a true hero of our times. I really want to know how many Taco Bell hot sauce packs the guy had in his car to survive for 5 days.
I'd like to know how much that burned because it sounds ouchy.
My insides.
But the good news is he and his dog are okay. Tell me something good.
They survived. That is great news.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.